WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Show of Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. Today, we're not going to talk about Russia or China. We're going to talk about another enemy that we've sort of gone off the radar a little bit, but it's still there, and that is Islam. Not so much Islam, but the drivers of it, the real radical elements behind Islam, because I'm at variance with some of my colleagues on this point. I think Islam, that we see manifesting in the West, is largely a communist-driven movement. So we'll talk about that. So tune in. We'll talk about that after this short break.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show. And I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took 2 volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within. This is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020. That's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brandon, for that for the tongue of me plug. And I agree. Go to trevorloudon.com. There's books and videos there that will give you information you will not see anywhere else. If you're in a war, the first thing you have to know is that you're in one, and most Americans don't. And then you have to know and understand your enemy. As Sun Tzu said 3,000 years ago in China, to know your enemy and know yourself is not to fear the results of 100 battles. You'll win every one. But we don't know our enemy, and we don't know our own strengths sometimes. We lose track of that. So my contention, what we know as radical Islam today is largely a left-wing communist phenomenon. Now, I know that Islam's been around for 1,400 years. I know it's been very expansionist, very aggressive. You know, Islam, you don't get Muslim missionaries knocking on your door and say, come to the mosque. Virtually all the Islamic countries have been taken over basically by migration or invasion. That's been the way Islam has certainly been spread, by the sword and diplomacy, very little through actually missionary work or proselytizing, as what you would find in Christianity or Judaism or some other religions. So, well, that's that giver. And Islam has for a long time had quite a lot of antipathy to Judaism and Christianity. That's waxed and waned over the years. Depends on the country. Some countries, Christians and Jews are relatively tolerated. Some countries, though, are heavily persecuted. So there is certainly a hostility there, and that also is flared up in the Middle East over the last 60 years, Israel being a focal point of that. But the modern movement, the modern expansionist movement that we've seen in the last 100 years, where has that come from? Because that wasn't really a problem since the Crusades. The Islamic religion was largely staying in Muslim countries. It wasn't particularly expanding. And in some countries like Turkey, it actually was going backwards. You know, Kemal Atatürk in the 1920s secularized Turkey. He basically pushed Islam to a second place spot. But since World War II, we've seen a massive expansion of Islam around the world and a growing militancy from Islamic countries. Islamic radical groups have been springing up here and there all over the place. Some of them are involved in terrorism, some involved in subversion. All of them are involved in spreading Islam or their version of Islam around the world. So why did this happen? Well, when the Soviet Union was established in 1917, it took a few years to consolidate their power. And in the old Russian Empire were several Islamic states, you know, what we'd now call Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, regions of the Caucasus, etc., that were traditionally Islamic, had been Islamic for 600, 700, 800, 900 years. And so the Russians had a problem. The Soviets had a problem. They were very quick to clamp down on Christian churches. Christian churches were very heavily persecuted. Priests were executed. Monasteries were closed down. Christianity really, really suffered in the early days of the Bolshevik Revolution, but not so much Islam. Because Islam was a much more militant religion, the people were much more warlike, and they were a long way from Moscow. They were sort of out in the hinterlands of Central Asia. Moscow didn't have the control they had in the Russian territories or Ukraine or Belarus or any of the areas close, you know, in the internal part of the Russian Empire. So what did they do? Well, they didn't try and shut down the mosques. They didn't try and burn down the mosques or execute mullahs, anything like that. That would have just backfired horribly. They wouldn't have had a chance. So what they did, they created Soviet mosques. They started to blend Islam with socialism. And as Islam is a pretty top-down religion and socialism is a top-down political system, it was sort of fairly easy to blend the two. So they started putting KGB agents into the mosques and the madrasas. They come up with a form of socialized Islam, very similar to what they later did with their liberation theology when they fused Christianity with communism to create what is called liberation theology, which is basically communism with a little bit of Christian terminology sprinkled on top. But they did the same thing with Islam. They created the mosques and they took over the mosques and madrasas. They didn't shut them down. They started to teach them about socialism. And they brought a lot of these mullahs and that back to Moscow, and they trained them at big institutes in the Soviet Union. They had big conferences, the Conference of the Toilers of the East, and they invited Mongols and Uzbeks and Kazakhs, Caucasians, to these big conferences, and they started to fuse Islam with communism. Parallel to this, in 1929 in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood was established by Qutb, and he wrote some books on this, the Bridge and others. And it was the Muslim Brotherhood was to try and rebuild the Ottoman Empire, because after World War One, the Ottoman Empire, which is based in Turkey, had ruled much of the Islamic world, all of the Middle East, parts of North Africa. It was a pretty parts of Europe, Southeast Europe, etc. It was a big deal, but it was the Ottoman Empire was destroyed in World War One. Then Kemal Atatürk, the army officer who took over Turkey, really was trying to get rid of Islam, trying to bring Turkey into the 20th century. So in Egypt, there was a pushback. The Muslim Brotherhood was established, and the goal was worldwide Islam, the reestablishment of the caliphate, the Ottoman caliphate. So these people started training in a very fundamental form of Islam and started to spread their tentacles right through the Middle East, and even started building up ties with Adolf Hitler when he came into power in Germany and others. They had a common bond. They didn't like the Jews. The Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood and Hitler got along famously. And during the 30s and 40s, during World War II, the Muslim Brotherhood cooperated very closely with the Nazis in Egypt, in the Levant, which is now Israel, and all areas like that. There was a big tie-up between the Nazis and the Muslim Brotherhood. And they really wanted to make sure, they were very upset when a lot of Jews after World War II came back into the Levant and started to set up the State of Israel. That was an area controlled by the British at the time, and the Jews actually mounted a terrorist campaign to drive the British out of Israel, out of those territories, so they could set up the State of Israel. So this caused another bone of contention in the Muslim world. And we do hear a lot about when the Jews set up Israel, they drove all the Palestinians, which is never really a nation, the Palestinians out. Well, that wasn't the case. The Jews didn't drive the Palestinians out. The communists told the Jews, move out of Israel, move out, or there will be trouble. So, and this gets blamed on Israel to this day. So after World War II, the Nazis were obviously crushed. So the Muslim Brotherhood was looking for other allies, and they came across the Soviet KGB. Now, remember, the Soviet KGB had already heavily infiltrated many of the Islamic populations in Kyrgyzstan and Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and all this sort of thing. So there was already a very strong KGB Muslim connection in the Soviet republics. And this started to extend out. They hooked up with the Muslim Brotherhood. The KGB set up the Palestine Liberation Organization in the 1960s to liberate Palestine from Israel. See, originally, the Soviets supported the State of Israel. The Soviets actually had a lot to do with bringing the Jews back from Europe back into the Levant to set up a state, because it was supposed to be a model socialist state friendly to the Soviet Union as a model for other socialist states in the region. But after 1948, the Israelis started to veer away from the Soviet Union and ally to America, which is why ever since the communists have been trying to destroy the State of Israel, because they believe that Israel betrayed them. The communists helped to set up Israel. Israel turned away from the communists and turned its face to the West. And that is why we're seeing this massive hatred against Israel around the world. It's partly Islamic, but it's more communist than anything. In the 1970s, the Soviets set up the Palestine Liberation Organization. Ion Pacepa, who was the head of the Romanian KGB, the Romanian Intelligence Service, he defected to the West. And in his great book, Disinformatia, you should read it, great book, he talks about how he was involved with several of the Muslim terrorist groups back in the 70s, the Black Septembers and the PFLP, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, etc. And that he personally helped to spread thousands of copies, hundreds of thousands of copies, I believe, of the secret protocols of the learned elders of Zion all around the Middle East. And if you've never heard of this book, it's a pretty poisonous sort of tome. It was a forgery done by the Russian secret police under the Tsars to justify the pogroms against the Jewish populations of Ukraine, Russia, and Belarus. What it was saying there's a group of learned elders of Zion, and they are running the world, and they are torturing the Goyim. They are enslaving Goyim. They are with their capital, with their money laundering. They control the big banks. They are basically they're a destructive satanic force. And this book was spread all around the Middle East to stir up even more hatred amongst the Muslims towards the Jews. And the Nazis also relied to some degree on this document. And you'll find that some anti-Semites, and I hate that word anti-Semite, but some anti-Jewish people, some anti-Israel people in America rely on the protocols. They seriously believe this stuff is a genuine document and is documenting secret meetings of Jewish elites plotting to destroy the Christian world. And it's a forgery. It was a forgery from the Tsars, but people believe it today. But the communists spread it. The communists spread it all around the Muslim world to inflame the Muslim world against the little Satan Israel and the big Satan America, because the myth as well is America is controlled by the Jewish bankers, you see. So all problems stem from the Jews, and America and Israel are the big representatives of the Jews. So those two countries must be destroyed for the sake of humanity. And this is all spread by the communists, because who are the communists' biggest enemies? In the Middle East, it's Israel. And here it is, and everywhere else, it's the United States. In parallel to that, you know, you saw in America, you saw the Nation of Islam springing up in the 1930s. And for a start, they were sponsored by the Japanese to a large degree, because the Japanese wanted to stir up racial hatred within America because they could see a war coming with America. They could see that was on the offing. So they were very supportive. The Japanese government was very supportive of the Nation of Islam. When the Nation of Islam established their newspaper, Muhammad Speaks, the first two editors, Charles Brown and Mr. Durham, I think it was, they were both members of the Communist Party. The Nation of Islam paper was like the Communist Party paper. The policy positions were the same. It was all anti-Israel. It was pro-Cuba, all this kind of stuff. You might as well be reading a communist paper, but it was Nation of Islam. The same time you had the birth of organizations like CAIR, the Council on American Islamic Relations. That was set up by a man called Nihad Awad. Now, Nihad Awad used to be the leader in America of the General Union of Palestinian Students, which supported the Palestine Liberation Organization and which was an affiliate of the World Federation of Democratic Youth, which is the main Soviet youth international youth front. Nihad Awad, who started CAIR, was a communist before he was an Islamist. He talks about how he used to support the PLO, but when the Soviet Union collapsed, he switched his support to Hamas. Then almost all of the Islamic groups, radical Islamic groups in America, have a communist basis. But the Muslim Public Affairs Council, MPAC, which is very, very influential has a member of the South African Communist Party on its advisory board. It has several communist connections. All through the country, you'll find CARE working with the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, with the Communist Party USA, with Democratic Socialists of America. Democratic Socialists of America even has a Muslim caucus for its Muslim members. Al-Qaeda, you know, the number two man in Al-Qaeda, Zahawari, was trained by the Russians in Dagestan in 1998. And remember, the Russians are still communist. The people who run Russia are still communists. So Al-Zawahiri was trained in Dagestan. The Al-Qaeda was partially a Russian operation, very heavily infiltrated by the Russians. Sure, they fought the Russians in Afghanistan, but when that war was over, they switched sides. Just like Kadyrov in Ukraine, Kadyrov of the Caucasus, who's leading Muslim troops in Ukraine right now. His father fought a war against Vladimir Putin to free his region. Then the father flipped. Now Kadyrov is Putin's biggest ally. I've seen films of him in a big stadium with probably 10,000 people, all soldiers, all dressed up. We are going to fight the West. We are going to fight America. Allah Akbar. Allah Vladimir Putin. You know, this is the red-green axis. Putin, the so-called Christian, is using communist and Muslim troops to kill Christians and Jews in Ukraine, and he's got a lot of Americans backing him. That is the power of Russian propaganda. So what we're seeing, really, when we see radical Islam, when we see Islamic terrorism, you'll almost always find the Russians and the Chinese behind it. You know, we heard stories recently about Putin offering bounties to the Taliban to kill American soldiers in Afghanistan. That wouldn't surprise me. The Taliban is as much Maoist as it is Islamic. It's got a deep reverence for Mao Zedong. You don't hear that very often, but the Taliban is not just a Muslim organization, it's a Maoist organization. They're very happy to cooperate with the communists. They work with the Pakistanis, and the Pakistanis work with the Chinese. So everywhere you look, where you find Hezbollah, for instance, which is working in the Middle East, and it's working in Latin America, it's working with the communist Venezuelans, it's working with the Cubans to infiltrate their people up through the southern border. The communists and the Islamists are working together all over the globe. There was Stanislav Lunev, I believe it was a Russian intelligence officer. This was after the clip. He defected. He was the number two in Russian military intelligence in America till about 1999, I think it was, well after the collapse of the Berlin Wall. And he told a good friend of mine, if you ever see Muslim terrorists set off an atomic weapon in the United States, don't believe it. It was us, the Russians. We just used the Muslims, just like they used the Muslims in 9/11 to bring down the Twin Towers. That was almost certainly a Russian attack. But who gets blamed for it? Not the Russians, that's for sure. It's very what the Russians and communists have done is fired up the Muslims, fed them full of anti-American propaganda, fed them full of anti-Israel propaganda, had a few people in there to control them and set them loose on the West. You know, ISIS, you know, there's all this myth out there, ISIS was established by the CIA. That's just Russian propaganda. ISIS was established by former members of Saddam Hussein's intelligence services, and those intelligence services were trained by the Russians and Russian Muslims from the Caucasus. Kadyrov's men. ISIS was a communist operation, essentially. Doesn't mean that every ISIS fighter was a communist. Most of them thought they were dying for Allah. They didn't realize they were dying for Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. When a lot of the Muslims wake up to the fact they've been used by the communists, a lot of what we see, a lot of the hostility from the Islamic world may well dissipate. Let us hope so. So I have to sign off just a little bit early today. So I hope you found this interesting and challenging. I hope you'll go to my website, trevorloudon.com. You've got to see Enemies Within the Church if you haven't seen that. White House Reds, my book there, will give you the communist background of Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg. Biden has a deep communist background, folks. He was never been a moderate. And my new book, Security Risk Senators, profile 30 currently serving U.S. senators, probably representing your state if you live in Arizona or Washington or Oregon or California or Illinois or Massachusetts or a whole bunch of other states. So go to my website, trevorloudon.com. Please stay tuned for future episodes of Enemies Within. And just keep standing up for America. Educate yourself. Buy lots of Brandon's foods to prep for future times. We're heading into some tough times, folks. I don't get a commission. This is just sound advice. Keep tuning in. Keep getting educated. Keep praying. And get ready for action. We're going to have to act to save this great republic. So signing out now. Thank you so much. God bless, and we'll see you again on Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show, and I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took two volumes.